Thank you all for coming. My name is Francis Beecher. I'm at Texas A&M, and I'll be reporting on an investigation of the role of epicuticular waxes on heat and drought tolerance in wheat, Triticum aestivum. We're all familiar with the effect of heat and drought tolerance on crop plants, and affects wheat similarly. You get a reduction in performance, which leads to reduced yields and reduced quality. Moreover, the incidence of these two stresses, heat and drought, are expected to increase in coming years due to global climate change, which makes their investigation all the more important. And breeders have developed tolerant lines for heat and drought stress, and this is typically done by mechanisms that can be put in one of two categories. You've got avoidance mechanisms, which prevent the plant from being affected by the stress, and you've got resistance mechanisms, which limit the damage done to the plant by the stress. Our lab is focusing primarily on avoidance, and some common avoidance mechanisms to heat and drought stress in wheat are leaf rolling, vertical leaf orientation, and epicuticular waxes. These are some images from our growth chambers. These are some images from our growth chambers. You can see the glaucousness or shininess, sort of a bluish cast on those leaves, and the leaves there are turning over, which is sort of the beginning of leaf rolling, and that's the plant exposing the abaxial side to reduce the incoming light, and it helps reduce water loss and temperature. The epicuticular waxes are the focus of this project, and we're focusing on them because they play a role in the avoidance of multiple stresses, including high light, heat, and drought. And this is primarily because of the position of the epicuticular waxes on the plant. They're right at the surface, where they're in a perfect position to reflect light and to play a role in the transcuticular transpiration of water. Now, when the stomata are closed, the primary path for water loss is moving across the plant cuticular layer. So the amount and type of waxes present are thought to be a primary determining factor in this. This little diagram just shows some of the layers. On the outer surface is the epicuticular layer, which is made up of waxes. The structure of the waxes here has been shown to differ between cultivars within the species wheat, and you'll get formation of crystals or various other shapes. Below that is a layer made up of cutin monomers that form polymers, and within the polymers will be different wax domains. And again, the type of the waxes present here are thought to play a large role in determining the permeability to water. So the layers we'll be looking at are the backbone of cutin polymers, the waxes present on the surface as the epicuticular layer, and the domains present within the cutin layer, which are called the intracuticular waxes. And waxes affect the water permeability as well as reflectance. The hypothesis of the project is that selection for wax could provide a stable avoidance to abiotic stresses, primarily heat and drought, in wheat. The goal of the project is the identification of QTL associated with wax tolerance as well as constituency, also the identification of QTL associated with tolerance to heat and drought stress as defined by wax content. And we'll be looking at pleiotropy between heat and drought QTL as well. The project will be carried out on two populations. We have a recombinant inbred line population as well as an association mapping population. These will be treated to both heat stress and drought stress treatments in both greenhouse and field trials. The phenotypes we're looking at are yield characteristics, quality characteristics, and wax characteristics. And the genotyping will be done primarily using SNP markers. So our wax analysis is carried out by extracting the waxes from leaf samples using an organic solvent. We've been using chloroform to this point. Our goal is to get both the intracuticular and the extracuticular waxes. And the amount of wax present, as well as the constituency of the waxes we've extracted, will be determined using GCMS. In addition, SEM will be used to confirm removal and also to do a qualitative analysis of some of the lines once we have identified their characteristics. This image here just shows our setup for wax extraction. We use leaf discs punched from the sample, or punched from the actual plants, either in the field or in the greenhouse. And the discs are put in scintillation vials and are then exposed to chloroform for a set amount of time, at which point the chloroform is removed, placed in the smaller scintillation vial over there to the right, and allowed to evaporate in the hood. This leaves behind a layer, you know, the waxes on the sides of the bottle, which are then able to be analyzed, in our case through GCMS. So our the primary characteristic we'll be looking at in the waxes is the amount of each of the different types, or several of the different types of wax constituents present. And we'll be focusing on some including alkanes, primary alcohols, and triterpenoids. And these are some that have been shown to upregulate or otherwise, or not upregulate, but to be more present or less present after heat and drought treatment. And we'll also be looking at the constituency of the cutin polymers and the different cutin monomers that are present and in what concentrations. Preliminary work has been performed using the recombinant inbred lion population. This population was derived from a cross between an Australian heat-tolerant lion known as Halberd and a breeding lion called Len, which has good agronomic traits. We've grown this population both in field trials in Texas as well as in a greenhouse trial at Texas A&M. Our preliminary greenhouse trial is shown here. The actual trial is there on the ground. This was just a preparation here on the left. The trial was given heat, drought, and control treatments with two replications per treatment. The tall pots you see, we use those in order to better administer drought in a greenhouse because the small pots dry out much too fast to simulate a natural drought occurrence. And heat was applied by a 38 degrees Celsius day, 18 degrees Celsius night regimen. Samples were taken at 15 days after pollination, and we plan to get 2 years of data from this type of greenhouse trial. We've already completed the first year for the recombinant inbred lion population, and we'll be analyzing the data soon. Preliminary field trials were carried out at two Texas sites, College Station, which of course is where Texas A&M is located, and then a much drier, warmer site, Uvalde. There were four replications per site, and the parameter measurements were taken at enthesis and at maturity. Parameter measurements in the field included canopy temperature depression, as well as the sampling of tissue for wax characteristics. This is just, I'm showing some preliminary data from our parent lines in the greenhouse. And primarily what we were looking for here is a divergence between their response to the stresses. So this is percent reduction for stomatal conductance. And you see that the line Len is showing actually an increase in stomatal conductance after the treatment of heat, whereas the heat-tolerant line Halberd shows a decrease in stomatal conductance. The two under drought performed relatively similarly, both showing a percent reduction, or so a decrease in their stomatal conductance after drought treatment. Canopy temperature depression, we saw a larger percent change for these heat-susceptible line Len, and less of a change in the heat-tolerant line Halberd, and the reverse in drought. And again, primarily, you know, the fact that there's a difference here is what will allow us to map QTL in this RIL population. For yield, it showed a negative percent reduction for the heat-susceptible line Len under both heat and drought conditions, and this indicates an increase in seed number, while much less of a change was seen in the line Halberd, which maintained its yield under both conditions. After analysis of the yield and quality and wax characteristics, QTL identification will be carried out on a map created by screening with primarily SNPs, and heat and drought QTL will be placed on the same map in order to detect pleiotropy. The expected outcome is the identification of QTL for use in MAS and eventually the production of improved drought and heat tolerant lines. So I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Dirk Hayes and Dr. Amir Ibrahim, as well as Dr. Matthew Reynolds, who's working very closely with us on this project and provided the population. Also, the other students working on the project is a rather large group, Saqib Mohammed, Chris Chick, Asima Padal, and Travis Huggins. So thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
What's the temperature regime for your control treatment?
I don't know offhand. I believe it's 20. Okay, 25 and 25-20.
Is the timing of the heat treatments important? Does it have to apply during grain pulling?
We've been targeting the heat treatment 10 days after pollination.
More questions?
If I could just elaborate on that, it's hypothesized that the waxes are primarily upregulated during reproductive development. So that's why we're targeting, just a little bit after pollination as the time to apply the heat stress, because we're thinking that's where you'll see the waxes actually having an interaction with the plant trying to maintain its yield, which of course is what we're really interested in. All right, thank you very much.